Welcome to Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, teaching you how to manage your mind so that you can create relationships you love. And now, here's your host, certified relationship coach and expert in all things love, friendship, and mind drama, Rebecca Orr.
Hey everyone, how is everyone doing? This episode is one I'm sure a lot of listeners can relate to, and it's all about fighting the urge to check your partner's phone. Or maybe it's their Instagram or Facebook page, or maybe it's an ex-friend's Facebook page, an ex-partner's Facebook page. Whatever that anxious checking behavior is that you're struggling to stop doing, that's what we're going to talk about today. And I want to say, first of all, relationships can be very scary to the anxious mind because they are uncertain. We have a whole other person in front of us and we have no idea how they're going to choose to act or how they might choose to use their free will. We have no idea what situations or circumstances might pop up for us to have to deal with. So it makes sense our brains want to try and get back a fake sense of control or certainty. And for some of us, that fake sense of certainty comes from checking their partner's phone. We've all been there. Maybe they leave their phone on the bed and go for a shower, and we think, what if they've been messaging someone else? And we feel that jolt of anxiety. So we react to it and start looking through their phone. Now, I also want to say that checking someone's phone isn't inherently right or wrong. That's an opinion you may have about it. You may not want to think of it as a good thing. Some people might not want to think of it as a problem, but in reality, it's just an action. Some may have done it and feel good about it. Some may have done it and deeply regretted it and felt really bad about it. But the reason I call it a fake sense of control is because we're believing that checking their phone or their social media page is going to somehow confirm that everything is fine and that we can feel safe. But in reality, we never know what's going to happen or how our partners are going to choose to act. So basing our safety on these acts of checking doesn't actually make us feel any safer, and it often makes us feel a hell of a lot worse. And for those of you listening, it's likely that you have this urge to take this action, to do this checking behavior, and you don't feel like it's serving you. And it's something that you want to stop doing so that you can show up more trusting and present in your relationships. So let's first of all look at why we do it in the first place. The reason we get this burning desire to check their phone or Instagram followers or when they were last online or whatever it is, comes from us wanting to get rid of a feeling we're currently having in that moment. So we're trying to escape the feeling, the physical sensations of anxiety. And we think if we can just look, we can go and check that thing, then we can get that dopamine hit, that sense of relief. That's what's subconsciously going on in your brain. It's trying to get that relief to that anxiety. And the reason it isn't useful is it reinforces in our brain the idea that relief from our emotions lies outside of us, that we can't be soothed until we get that thing, until we've checked their phone, until we've seen that they've texted us back, whatever it is. And so we end up trapped on this hamster wheel of checking. Because the more our brain believes relief is found within their text messages or Instagram followers list or whatever it is, the more we have to keep checking it to feel okay over and over again. Because those things could change at any moment. Any moment they could have followed a new girl on Instagram, or they could have a message pop up in their DMs that they've responded to. So we have to keep checking weekly, daily, hourly for some people in order to create that sense of calm in their bodies. And this is true too for people who believe their worth is determined by what others think of them. They fall into the same hamster wheel trap too, because when we have that subconscious belief, we feel like we have to keep checking. Do you like me? Do you still like me? Have they texted me back? Are they going to want a second date? We have to keep checking what other people think about us so that we can feel worthy. So what is the solution to this kind of checking behavior? How can we get off the hamster wheel and stop giving in to that urge to check their phone or their followers or whatever it might be? The answer is simple, but you're not going to like it. You have to get good at feeling your anxiety and feeling the sensations of your anxiety in your body, feeling the discomfort of uncertainty. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, but Rebecca, trust me, I feel anxious. I feel it every day. But let me tell you, what you're likely experiencing is not what it feels like to just feel anxiety. What you're experiencing is what it feels like to resist the hell out of your anxiety. And trust me, there is a big difference. When you feel the sensations of anxiety in your body and your subconscious response to them are, oh no, this feels terrible. How can I make this go away? I need to distract myself. How can I get rid of this? You find yourself tensing up against it. Like I said, trying to distract yourself, doing something to try and get rid of it. That is you resisting the experience of the sensations in your body. And when I say get good at feeling the emotion, what I'm talking about is being willing for the sensations to be there and making peace with their existence. Feeling them in your body and giving them full permission to hang out with you as long as they like. And in this mental willingness to feel and allow the sensations, I can promise you that your whole experience of them changes. A lot of coaches use the metaphor of pushing a beach ball underwater to describe what it feels like to resist an emotion. It's like you're just pushing against something and then it just increases in intensity, like the beach ball, and bounces back with double the force. You'll know if you're resisting your anxiety if every time it comes up, you want it to go away. That is you resisting it, which, by the way, is a very, very normal human brain response. Mine does it too. Our brains are wired to avoid negative emotion. And so learning this skill of allowing the emotion is kind of going against the entire evolutionary makeup of your brain. So it's not a super easy skill to acquire, but I promise you it's going to make such a huge difference. Because if your brain can say these anxious thoughts to you, and they can create this anxiety in your body, but you are willing to just feel the anxiety, to let the sensations be there, let them rise, peak, and dissipate within you without acting on them. That is how you can stop yourself from continuously checking and showing up in your relationship in a way that you don't like. So I'll talk you through how to feel and allow an emotion. First of all, you need to acknowledge what you're feeling. What is this emotion? Is it anxiety? Is it fear? Is it overwhelm? Just name it and acknowledge what it is for a moment. Then your second task is to locate where you can feel the sensations. Are they in your chest, your throat, your stomach, arms? Just take a moment and notice where they are in your body. Then I want you to put your attention on the sensation you feel and get curious about it. So imagine you're a scientist that's studying what anxiety feels like in the body. And your job is to observe the sensation and watch what it does. Describe it to yourself. Is it a hot sensation? Is it cold? Is there any movement to it? Is it pulsating or is it totally still? Is it really heavy or is it quite light? Does it have a texture or a shape? Do you picture it and imagine it to be a certain color? Really do this and be present with how that sensation is showing up in your body. Be super curious about it, which, as I'm sure you can imagine, is the total opposite of what you're doing when you're resisting it and reaching to check their phone. You are just trying to escape the anxiety. You're like, let me do something to try and get rid of this. So instead of doing that, we're going inwards. We're getting really present with it, getting really curious about it, being willing to notice it and experience it. When you're resisting it, you just want to get it the hell away from you. You're not willing to be curious or interested in it at all. So take a moment to just, like I said, acknowledge it, notice where it is in your body, locate where the sensation is, and observe it and describe it to yourself. And finally, I want you to take a deep breath and imagine that with that breath, you're making space for that sensation. With every breath, you're giving it permission to be there. You're expanding to make room for it. And what you'll notice as you do this is the sensation is likely to feel a lot less intense. The intensity will soften and your experience of the sensation being there will feel a lot easier to you. The sensation may even disappear altogether. This is what happens. They tend to rise, peak, and then dissipate completely. But either way, it will begin to move through you instead of feeling stuck and active in your body. This really is the best thing I've ever found for handling the sensations of any emotion I feel. And when you're willing to do this instead of trying to avoid those sensations by checking their phone, checking their Instagram, whatever it is, you save yourself from showing up in your relationship in ways that you don't like and that don't serve you. What's also important when you're working on your urge to check their phone is spending some time really understanding your brain and what it's actually afraid of. When you're wanting to look at their phone, what is it that you're trying to find out? What's the scary what-if thought that's driving you? Is it, what if they're cheating? What if they're following other girls? What if they're liking other girls' pictures? Maybe they're going to behave in a way I don't like. Whatever it is, we want to acknowledge the emotion that you're afraid to feel if that thing happens, if that worst case scenario happens. So just for a minute, imagine that that worst case scenario happens. What is it that your brain is most afraid to feel? Would you feel shame? Is it heartbreak? Is it just rejection? Is it sadness? Is it grief? Acknowledging in these moments when you're wanting to check their phone, okay, my brain really wants me to check their phone right now because I'm terrified that something might happen and then I'll have to feel this emotion, shame, sadness, whatever it is. This is really important because instantly we can then see what your brain is actually afraid of, which is the emotional experience it predicts that you will have, not the thing itself. And I found using self-soothing statements like, this is just my brain trying to protect me from feeling shame and rejection, and that's okay. It makes sense my brain is trying to escape this anxiety by taking this action, but I'm safe to just feel it instead. Saying things to myself like this when I was getting the urge to check is something I found really, really helpful because what it does is it places you as the observer of your mind and emotions instead of confusing yourself as being them, instead of being caught up in them. It's like you're the center in the eye of the tornado, watching your brain spiraling around you, but you are this sense of calm thing in the middle. You're not spiraling yourself, you're the one observing it. Even statements like, I'm noticing my brain wants me to check their phone right now to escape uncertainty, and that's okay. I can just feel it instead. Really takes back your control and sets you up to handle those sensations in a better way because it sets you up to feel them instead of reacting to them. And finally, a third and really important piece of this puzzle is to create self-certainty around the scenario that you're most afraid of. So let me use an example. A past client of mine had a boyfriend who had in the past behaved in ways that she didn't like. And although they'd worked through it and she'd chosen to forgive him and he'd been working on himself and now appeared to be showing up and behaving in ways that she liked, her brain, being a human brain, still consistently tried to get her to check his phone, which she didn't want to do, one, because she didn't want to show up as that kind of girlfriend, and two, because she didn't want her entire emotional experience that day to be ruled by a phone or to be obsessed with thoughts about checking a phone. So what we had to do was first understand what she was most afraid of if it did come out that he was cheating or messaging other girls. And what we discovered is the reason she was so terrified of that, the reason she was so terrified that might happen in her future was because one, she'd make it mean she wasn't good enough or attractive enough. And two, she'd call herself stupid and tell herself that she should have seen it coming and not given him another chance. So as you can see here, the worst part about finding out that he had cheated would be her own mean thoughts about herself. And I want you to really think about that because maybe it's the same for you. The worst thing that would happen if she found out he had cheated would be the way her own brain would talk and think about herself. It would be the mean things her own brain would say to her that would be the most painful thing about that situation, which luckily is totally under her control. So for all of you following along and doing this work at home and listening to this, I want you to ask yourself this question. If I were to accept that my partner has total free will and gets to choose how he or she uses it. What do I intentionally want to make their choices mean about me? If I accept there's a chance that my partner might one day message another girl behind my back or cheat on me, because I can't control that, what is it I'd currently make that mean about me or my future that's so terrifying to me? And how can I challenge that? How can I challenge those thoughts? How aren't those thoughts true at all? And what do I want to make their choice, their potential future choice, mean about me? Because the truth is, we can't ever know or predict or control whether or not our partners are going to leave us or cheat on us or behave in a way that we don't like. It's completely out of our control. And no matter who you are in the world, there's always a 1% chance your partner might cheat on you because they're a human being, they're unpredictable, and they have total free will. You can't control that, but you can control your belief in yourself to handle it if it ever happens. And you can control what you would make it mean about you. And if you really knew and believed, okay, there's a chance they may one day cheat on me, and that won't be a fun day if it happens, but it won't mean a thing about me, and I will totally survive it and be okay, you wouldn't feel this burning, urgent desire to keep checking their phone for reassurance all the time, because you would trust yourself to handle it if and when it ever happens, as and when it's revealed to you. You may not be able to have certainty in how the relationship will pan out, but you could have self-certainty in your ability to handle whatever happens. Now, I can almost hear the chorus of listeners saying, but what if I never find out? What if I don't ever check their phone and it turns out they are messaging other people and I have no idea? And the truth is, we never know for sure what's going on in people's brains. We never know what our partners are thinking and feeling at all, and we never can with 100% certainty. And we can never know what they're doing 24/7. You could check their phone and they could have deleted the messages. Or they could be doing something you don't like with a work colleague and leaving no paper trail at all. We actually can never be 100% sure that our partners are always behaving in ways that we would approve of, unless we lock them in a room with a CCTV camera installed. Obviously, I'm joking, don't do that. And even then, to be fair, we wouldn't know what they were thinking. You know, they could tell us they're thinking nice thoughts about us while thinking terrible thoughts about us, which, now thinking about it, if we had them locked in a room, they probably would be thinking bad thoughts about us. But hey, anyway, I digress. But if you really think the best way to combat the truth that your partner has free will and gets to choose whether they're going to be faithful or cheat is to check their phone regularly and be totally paranoid and anxious and afraid every single day, you are likely not going to create the kind of loving, connected relationship that you really want to create. And when you're afraid you're not going to find something out, what you're actually afraid of is the thought you will have and the feeling you will experience if you do eventually find out the thing you didn't already know. I know that sounds very complicated, but stay with me a second. Because if you went your whole life, married maybe, had kids, had a life with someone, loved them, believed they loved you, had a beautiful, happy experience with them, and you passed away never knowing that they were cheating, your emotional experience would be fine. You'd have had a great life. You would never, never know anything different. Your emotional experience would be hunky-dory. Because you'd be having zero thoughts about what they'd done. You wouldn't know. You'd be blissfully unaware. So when you're afraid of not finding something out, you're not actually afraid of never finding it out. Because if you never found it out, you would only ever feel positive emotion and you'd feel great. So what you're really afraid of is eventually finding out that you didn't know and then having negative thoughts. Maybe thoughts like, I've been so stupid. I should have known. I'm an idiot. Maybe, and I've had a client say this to me, that they're afraid that they'll get married and be with this person and then 10, 20 years down the line, find out that this person has done something that they don't like. And that's because of the thoughts and feelings they would then have in that moment when they did find it out. When they did find out this person has done something I don't like, maybe they'd make it mean that they missed a red flag. They should have known this earlier. they've now wasted time being with this person and they need to feel regret and shame and beat themselves up for that. It's what you would choose to think about the not knowing and what you would make that mean about you if you did eventually find it out, that would be so painful. And again, these thoughts are all ones that we can look at and challenge. And if you've not already, I'd definitely go and check out my episode on why you don't need to see it coming. It's going to be a really useful episode for you. And it goes into this idea more and in more detail and talk about how we can actually choose to not make not seeing something coming mean anything about us and why we don't need to worry about not seeing something coming. Because that's something I see so often. And I do think there's kind of a cultural movement at the moment to do with red flags. You see it all over Instagram where everyone's talking about we need to spot red flags. How do we not miss red flags? And really, my take on that is it creates a lot of anxiety because it puts the pressure on us and the onus on us to predict the unpredictable, to predict the unpredictable behavior of another human being. And it kind of perpetuates this idea that if we find out our partners have cheated, we are to blame for not noticing that they are someone who could potentially cheat, that we are to blame for not noticing the signs that were clearly there that we have missed. We are to blame and stupid for not seeing it coming. And this is something I really, really dislike and stand against. And I've had to coach a lot of clients through this idea that they don't need to shame and judge themselves when they, you know, if they ever do find out their partner's cheated. So yeah, go and check out that episode on why you don't need to see it coming. If this is something that you know you relate to, that episode's going to really help you. But anyway, the point still remains. You can only deal with the facts of someone's behavior, with the facts of circumstances, as and when they're revealed to you. And if you trusted yourself to be kind and compassionate to yourself and not beat yourself up, if you did find out something in the future and you trusted yourself to handle whatever that thing was, you could then choose to show up as the partner that you want to be today. You could trust yourself to enjoy today, knowing that the relationship might end in the future and that that's okay, that you could totally handle it, whatever it is, whatever happens. So the three main takeaways from this episode that I want you to really focus on are: one, get good at feeling the sensations of anxiety in your body instead of trying to escape them. Remind yourself that that's all the checking behavior is. It's your brain's way of trying to escape the sensations of negative emotions instead of making room for them and feeling them and being present with them. Number two, talk soothingly to your anxious brain and normalize the fact that this is happening. Acknowledge that this is your anxious brain trying to help you escape a future negative emotion by actually creating a negative emotion now instead. Anxiety. Thanks, brain. So acknowledge that. I'm feeling anxious now because I'm afraid of feeling a negative emotion in the future. And number three, really look at that thing that you're most afraid of. And really get clear on what would be the worst thoughts and feelings I might experience if this thing happened. That is where your thought work lies, coming face to face with those thoughts and challenging what you'd make that potential future behavior mean about you or your future. Because this is where you can create certainty, not in the fact that they'll never ever do it, but in the fact that you can handle it, even if they do. And again, I want to really stress, we can only deal with the facts of a situation as and when they're revealed to us. So if the facts of the situation right now are, you have no evidence that your partner is cheating on you, there is no evidence that there is anything for you to have a conversation about or worry about, those are the facts that you have right now. And your job is to show up to those facts in the best way you can, in a way that serves you. How do you want to act when these are the facts you have right now? If you then find out more facts later down the line, great, that's new information, and then you get to choose again. If later down the line you do find out that there's something maybe a little suspicious that you want to ask questions about, or that there's behavior that you notice that you think is odd, okay, that's new information for you to then decide how you want to handle it. But your job isn't to go and be the FBI and find out information that you don't have. Your job isn't to predict the future or spot the red flags. Your job is simply to respond to the facts you do have in the moment. And this is going to become a lot easier for you to trust in yourself when you know that you're not going to beat yourself up for not having facts sooner. Your future self isn't going to beat your past self up for not knowing what you know in that moment. So that's really important, guys. And like I said, go and listen to my Why You Don't Need to See It Coming episode. That one's really going to be important for this topic. Okay, guys, that's all I've got for you today. I hope it was helpful. Can I ask you to do a little something for me? Could you go ahead and give this podcast a rating on whatever platform you're listening from? This is how I can keep reaching more and more people and spreading the word of this work. And then also maybe share it with a friend who you know really struggles with this and who you think would really enjoy it or get something from it. I hope you all have an amazing weekend and I'll speak to you all next week. Bye.
If you're loving this podcast, you can also hang out with Rebecca on Instagram and TikTok at Rebecca Orr Coaching. Don't forget to sign up to her email list for exclusive freebies and for more information on her one-to-one and group coaching programs.